grace and peace. Welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Thanks for joining in on your commute, your ride into work, wherever it is that you are. And hopeful that this Easter message of life will inspire you for a deepening faith life and deepening faith practice. Because the goal is, yes, to stay thirsty for what God is doing in and through your life. Well, today I want to focus in on John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. We are in the Easter season, and what that means is we've got these appearance stories, these resurrection encounters, I like to call them, with the disciples, which provide a lot of inspiration and hope to those first followers, and I believe so today. And coming from the Gospel of John, this story has a punch and an impact to it, because at the end of the reading, as Thomas declares faith, Jesus says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. So we got to take a look at that too, and wrestle a little bit. But let me read this text again. It's John 20, verses 19 to 31. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered them, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Well, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." The Gospel of our Lord. There's a lot here, especially when you consider the emotions of those first followers gathered in a room. I think it's easy for us to see how those first followers could be living in fear, because they were confronted with the very worst. They had seen the cross on the hillside. They had seen the pain and suffering of their Lord, their Messiah, their Savior. And so it was natural for them to disappear, to turn inward, and to be in that space together with locked doors. We're not going to chide anyone for that. But of course, time and time again, we have a God, Jesus, the Spirit, who comes to us, just like those angels there at the tomb when it was empty. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And so how is it that when we're confronted with this force of evil, or this force of difficulty, when we feel fears overwhelming us, how is it that we can move beyond fear and into more faith? Well, I think we learn about how to do that more fully here in this gospel. The disciples did not do this on their own. They did not do this by themselves. The word is, "Peace be with you." And that peace is a gift that's given to them, not just randomly, not from a fellow sojourner, not just from somebody out there in the world saying, "Hey, God's got this and you got this." No, Jesus himself, here post-resurrection stands in their midst and says this word, peace be with you. And he doesn't just say it once. He doesn't just say it twice. He says it three times in this short biblical story. So Jesus wants the disciples to know true peace. It's the peace that only Christ can give. He's standing there in their midst. He has been raised. He has overcome. He has come back. And there's sign after sign after sign that God will not quit and God will not tire, but God will keep showing up in this world. And so good news today, if you're living in fear, God is on the move. Jesus is going to show up into your locked room and your locked space. Don't freak out by that. But offer the gift of peace, because God wants you to experience full and complete peace. And so then Jesus takes a step further. He doesn't just speak peace or share the word of peace. He shows them his hands and his side. Now, when I read this for the first time in my younger faith, I thought, how gross is that? I don't want to see that, right? We remember the story of his hands and side. What did they do? His hands and side were pierced through, nails driven through. So Jesus here is fully wounded. It doesn't say that Jesus comes back perfectly put together. All those things magically have disappeared from his life. No, it's his body wounded, a broken hand, a broken open side. He's standing in their midst as a wounded healer. Again, this affirms how we can experience God's peace. We don't have to be put all the way back together. We don't have to reach some idealized form of perfection. No, we too can be a wounded healer. As a matter of fact, sometimes the most effective people to stand in the gap between death and life and point to resurrection are those who've undergone the hardship that that person themselves are experiencing. Because you too can speak about your wounds. You can speak about the hardship. And you can point to God's activity in life. So we get this image of a wounded healer. And we often talk about that in the church too. How we can be wounded healers in Christ. And then there's this sending function, right? Of Jesus breathing upon them and saying, as I've been sent, I'm going to send you here. Again, even in fear and woundedness, they're still sent. As a matter of fact, that's probably the best thing that could ever happen for these first followers, to be sent, to move beyond the locked up spaces, because this is where others are going to experience joy and life in abundance too. Jesus is always about ascending function in our life. This doesn't just happen to us for our own sake, but for the sake of all, for the sake of the other. So you have to be sent with the good news. Even if you're living in fear, even if you're wounded, you're still going to be sent. Amen, amen, and alleluia, alleluia. And the disciples in all of this could be saying, how is this going to be possible? How is this going to work within us? Well, Jesus says, I'm going to breathe on you. I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit again. I'm going to remind you that you're not alone. This breathing activity is that practice that we have in the church when we pray in and pray out, Yahweh, Yahweh, God within us, God for us. God alongside us. This gift of the Holy Spirit within is transformative. If you feel like you are the only one out there sharing the good news, that you're the one who has to stand in face of the hardship or the suffering or pain, and you got to do it by yourself, chances of staying locked up are very high. But when you know that you're not alone, that God is there, that others are going to be there, that this kindred spirit that is moving in and about the people of God is out there, it makes more life possible. So again, a good reminder, Jesus speaks it, he shows them, and now he sends them with the Holy Spirit by breathing on them. This is high experiential activity going on in this upper room. It's body, mind, heart, soul, all of the above. And then we get to the point where we have a little fun. Here's your disciple, Jesus. And this, this disciple, Thomas. And Thomas is on it, like always. He's showing up, and he's a little late to the party. But Thomas has something that's going to be spoken in and through his life. When he opens his mouth, he says, "I want to see. I want to see." What an honest reflection of faith. Yes, Lord, I want to see. I want to experience what you were experiencing. An amazing gift here. And this time, when he's there, he's hearing this gift too of peace be with you. There's something being poured out. And this is a word that says, do not doubt, Thomas. Do not doubt, my dear friend, but really believe. Hold on to this faith and hold on to this promise and this gift. And so the word that we used once in a sermon here was touch, believe, and live. Yes, touch, believe, and live. Thomas needed to do each of those. I want to touch, I want to see, I want to live, I want to experience, but I can't come to believe just by a mind exercise, but rather I will experience it in the relationship with Christ and all that God is doing. And so there's a confession of faith that happens for Thomas in these moments. He says, my Lord and my God. His eyes are opened up. He's bursting forth from the tomb with Jesus now. He's no longer captivated by the cross and the death, but he's open to the resurrection and the life and the hope. His despair is passing away, and good news is being lived. So when we talk about this, we could say, is seeing believing? Is seeing believing? What if we're just told something? How much harder is it to come to faith? But if we sit with something, yes, we're learning, yes, we're hearing, we're using all the auditory sense there. But when we say, I need to see to believe, what does that mean? Jesus is challenging to say, you don't have to just see, but you can not see with your eyes and experience. I think some people use the word blind faith, right? almost as I just did this out of blind faith, and maybe Jesus would compliment that. But I think there's more of a wrestling, a shared wrestling going on here. Those words touch, believe, and live resonate within my soul. And so how can we touch the heart of God? How can we be fully engaged with the heart of God? How can that move us in and through sacred community so that belief can be shared or grown? And what are the outcomes? What are the fruits that then happen as we share that together? No matter what is going on, remember, Jesus shows up where we are in locked space, in fear, and wants to move us beyond fear and into faith. And that is gift. We do not know the challenges that lie ahead in our life. We don't know the struggles that we have in life, but we do trust in God's activity, always at work. Thanks be to God. May you touch, believe, and live this week and always. Stay thirsty, my friends.